applies to really virtually every situation we're in relationships to other people, how to behave toward them. It's a good rule of God. How would I like to be treated in this situation? The person I'm coming to interact with. But Jesus has something very particular in mind. When we use this principle, almost everyone might, especially children, but adults who do, and we maybe don't admit it or notice it so much, that do to others as you would want them to do to you, but their response is, yeah, but they're not going to, or they don't. I don't get back what I give to others. That's how we feel. Treat others nicely, and they still don't treat me nicely. It doesn't work. But of course, that's not what the principle says. The principle doesn't say that I'll be treated nicely in return. It says that this is just a guide for how I should act, regardless of how I'm treated. And this is clearly our Lord's emphasis, because he says, don't love people simply because they can love you back. Don't do good things to other people just because they can do good back to you. Don't lend because you're lending to someone who can give back to you, maybe even with interest. In all of these ways, he said, this is how sinners act. Sinners look at relationships as a kind of cost-benefit analysis. What will I get out of this relationship? And maybe we want it to be mutually beneficial. Maybe we don't want to really be destructive or harmful to the other person, but we want to be in these relationships that are mutually beneficial. So we're still thinking in terms of, if I do this, what will I get in return? It's an economic understanding of relationships. And Jesus said, this is the way of the world. That's what he means when he said, this is how sinners act. This is how sinners behave. This is the way of the world. This is the fallenness of creation. But he said, don't act that way. Act in such a way that you love your enemies, meaning the people who are going to actually harm you. People who are going to do ill to you. Love those people. And of course, that's what he did in this world. That's what he did in coming to us. We're his enemies. He came to love us. And do good and lend without expecting anything in return. So there's this complete severing of the cost-benefit analysis of relationships. Very, very important. The reason it's important, he goes on to tell us in a sort of very interesting way. He says, if you behave this way, your reward will be great. You think, oh, that's good. I'll behave this way so I get a vacation home on an island in the Caribbean. That would be my great reward. That's not what he means. So, I'll get married and have lots of children and live a wonderful life. Well, maybe so, but that's not what he means either. I'll go to heaven and have eternal life. That would be good, but I don't think that's what he means either. He means exactly what he says next, that we will be sons of God. We'll be who we truly are. We'll be sons of the Father. No, he said we'll be sons of God. We'll be who we truly are. What it is to be a human being is to be a son of God. We had at the beginning of 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, when we just started reading Luke, we had Luke's genealogy of our Lord, and Luke does it backwards. He starts with Jesus and says, the supposed son of Joseph, and he traces the line back, Nathan, son of David, son of Jesse, son of Obed, son of Boaz, and going back and back, Isaac and Jacob, Isaac and Abraham. He's the son of Enoch, son of Seth, son of Adam, but he doesn't stop with the son of Adam, he says son of God. He traces the genealogy back to Adam, and then to God. When God created Adam, he created him as his son. Not son by nature, but son by grace. As a gift, as an adopted into this life of the Holy Trinity. So the great reward that we receive when we behave in this way of acting toward others without expecting anything in return, is we get to be who we truly are as human beings. We get to be sons of the, as St. Matthew puts it in a parallel passage, sons of the Most High God. That's who we've created to be. Now, how do we do this? How do we come to behave this way? Do we try harder? Do we get kind of let ourselves be abused and mistreated by other people in various ways? The answer is yes, Jesus did. The farmers did. But we don't really come to adopt this way of life by simply trying harder. Jesus ends by saying, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. And what he means is that you yourself have to experience this mercy, this way of living from the Father. You have to experience this pouring out of grace of being treated, not how you deserve, but just out of love and compassion and generosity. So Jesus says that our Heavenly Father, that we are to be sons of, is kind, he says, toward the ungrateful, the unthankful, and in our translation, selfish, literally evil. So we will come to experience God's mercy for us if we do simple things like go to confession, confess our sins to God. If we become conscious and aware that, even as St. Paul says, we were enemies of Christ, we put him on the cross. And it's only out of his grace and love for us that we can approach him and receive the holy sacraments, the holy gifts. It's only by experiencing this great mercy and kindness of God with the awareness of our own unkindness, our own ungratefulness, that we then have something to give to others. Because I like to say we can't give what we don't have. And the source for what we have to give to others is our Father in heaven. So we have to come to let ourselves experience our own ways in which we are ungrateful and selfish and sinful. The own ways in which we reject Christ and let ourselves be recipients of this mercy. Not that we presume upon it, shall we sin that grace may abound, may it never be, St. Paul says. But when we do, we have to not do what so many of us do. When we finally go, we haven't prayed all day, or we said an unkind word, or we've been selfish, we didn't give a person the time that they needed or wanted from us, whatever it might be, we start beating up on ourselves. We start judging ourselves. We start treating ourselves in this way that we think we deserve. We, as it were, turn to ourselves instead of turning to God. We become our own judge. So it's precisely in those moments when we fail in this world, when we hurt others, when we hurt ourselves, when we turn away from God, when we relate to one another in this kind of economic way and then come to realize it, it's precisely at that moment that we shouldn't talk to ourselves, but that we should talk to God. That we should flee to him for his mercy, knowing that we don't deserve it, but knowing that that's precisely the kind of being that he is. He's not looking to judge us, he's looking to save us. You know, when it's easy for us to see in children, and I think it's easy for children to see in adults, but it's hard for us to see in ourselves, when children are kind of arguing, fighting, maybe a brother and sister are fighting, and the parent comes to intervene, and the sister says, he hit me. And he says, she called me a name. She says, he won't give me the iPad. He says, she's had it all morning. We just go back and forth and back and forth. We're looking for who started it. Who was the culprit that started this? Because if we could find that culprit, we could punish him. It would be ultimately that person's fault. And I will say, I know parents, including myself, at different times, who have said, who started it? As if that were an important question. It would be an important question if the whole world were grounded in the sense of vengeance and justice in the sense of judgment and condemnation. But if we follow this version of the golden rule, we're not looking for who started it. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter where in the process we are in the escalation of the argument or of the fight. Between children, between husband and wife, within a parish, priest and parishioners, whatever it might be, neighborhood, disputes at work. It doesn't matter where we are in the escalation of the argument, because I know from our Lord's words how to respond at this very moment, and it's not to respond with retaliation. It's not to escalate. It's not to justify myself, to defend myself. It's rather to act as I would want to be, I would to treat the other person as I would want to be treated. And I want to be treated kindly. I would want to be treated generously. Maybe I'm having a bad day and I said the wrong thing and you know things didn't go very well this morning and I'm taking it out on you. I would like you to treat me nicely. I'd like you to be understanding, kind. I don't want you to beat up on me and make my day even worse. Well, that's how I should treat you then. See, so it doesn't matter who started it, it doesn't matter where we are in the process. It only matters how I respond at this very moment. And that's how we have to treat this with God. It doesn't matter how long it's been since we last prayed, how long we've gone on gossiping with this person, how long we've gone on talking negatively or unkindly about this person who's not present. How much we got ourselves caught up in the lies and deception or distrust. As soon as we come to realize it, as soon as God sort of taps on our shoulder to call us back to Him, we turn to Him. He intervenes to give us that grace, to give us that kindness, that mercy, that can extract us out of this economic way of not only treating others, but treating ourselves. Judging ourselves. So if we let ourselves receive this mercy and kindness and grace, love from our Father, we too will be able to display that toward others, and then best of all, we'll be who we truly are. We'll be sons and daughters of the living God. We'll be who we were created to be. We'll be in that line of people that descend from Adam to Christ, who longed for the Messiah, longed to have someone come and transform their lives. As we read in Corinthians, a little bit before the passage that was read today, we'll be being transformed from glory, into the image of Christ. This is our calling. This is the way to go about doing it, to let Christ intervene in our lives and grant us that mercy that we don't deserve. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.